Here we are. Welcome back again for another episode of the Barbershop on PlayersVoice.com. I am your host, Mark Gray, and we're joined today by our resident NBA expert, DeMar Johnson. How you doing today, sir?
Pretty good. What's up, y'all?
Happy to have you. And A1, the producer, is here again for... He doesn't have a microphone today, which is thank God. That's the good part about DJ being back in the building, is that A1 is relieved of his microphone duty, so it's already a better show. I mean, we the substitution of the year. This is I'm trying to think of one of the biggest trade. This is the best trade ever in the history of sports. Just a quick while I say that, something that always bothers me when they talk about trades is how they always talked about the Kwame Brown, Pau Gasol trade, and nobody ever mentions the fact that Marc Gasol was involved in that trade. Just while we're on that, nobody ever mentions that fact, and they always say that the Lakers just got Pau Gasol for absolutely nothing. And the fact is Memphis has gotten Marc Gasol is now Defensive Player of the Year, probably what, top five big men in the league.
Center is probably top two.
Yeah, absolutely. And nobody ever mentions that. They just say it was Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol.
Anyway, pay off right away, so it paid off.
The thing is though, what did happen is when they traded Pau Gasol, they got Marc Gasol in the trade, and then they used that money to get Zebo. So essentially, the Zebo, Marc Gasol front court, which they use today, that all happened because of that trade. Jerry West is, in terms of GMs, is I can't think of a better one in history of sports. I mean, that dude is amazing. It seems like everything he did for it works. And the Lakers have been doing wonders without him. Awesome, man. They're doing the team they have constituted. I mean, they probably would have pulled. I mean, something tells me Jerry, he wouldn't have traded for Jeremy Lin. That's just my thought. I don't know. I want to get it. Well, NFL season is finally done. We got NBA. Now it's time to talk NBA, which is probably my number one love. And when it's NBA, I always go to my man, Mar Johnson. I don't want to call him a brother. I don't want to call him a friend. I'll just say working associates, and we know a lot of the same people. But was it 9 years or 10 years? 10 years in the league?
Nine years? Eight.
8 years?
Yeah.
8 years. Lottery pick, 6th overall pick. Never won any awards. Never did too much of anything. Nah, I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you. Great story, matter of fact. If you're not familiar with DeMar, please go on the website and read the DeMar Johnson story. Unbreakable. Is it Unbreakable? Unstoppable? Unbreakable? I think it's Unbreakable. Story that we did on you.
You wrote it.
Yeah. I think it was a while ago. But anyway, great story. If you're not familiar with it, lottery pick, broke his neck, said he'd be lucky. Spinning is he didn't make the NBA once, he actually made the NBA twice, which is not many people have done that. So that's just a brief intro to who he is. Get the business out of the way. PlayersVoice.com, Facebook, PlayersVoice.com, the Twitter, A1. You know how many tweets I did last week? Still zero. But you have to follow me on Twitter. Gray A Mark, GreyAMark on Twitter. I promise. DJ, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is DermarJ, DermarRJ.
At that, right? Yeah. I'm just, you know, it's me.
At DermarJ.
At DermarJ. He tweets a lot more. He tweets all the time, right?
Nah, I don't tweet much.
Okay. Well, so we're the worst tweeting show in the history of sports. I can tell you that. Mike and Mike, watch out. We're tweeting like crazy. But he tweets more than me. Do a sports if I know him. I want to get into one last night, a piece of history, and it's perfect timing. Popovich cracks into 1,000 wins. As I look on the list, it's only 6 coaches, and oddly enough, you played for 2 of them, George Karl and Greg Popovich. You played with George Karl for 3 years,
2.5 years.
He was brought in mid year.
He was brought in mid season. Yeah.
He was brought in mid season, and Popovich only for a short period of time. Compare the two different styles, Popovich and George Karl.
George is more offensive minded, great coach, understands the game very well. But he kind of just like, you know, get up and down, you know, he lets guys have their freedom. Pop is more structured. He's more defense mostly, you know, guys, you know, if you're going to do this, you're going to take out the game no matter who you are. And, you know, George gives his stars a little more, you know, freedom than Pop does.
Tell us one thing about Popovich that we don't know and would surprise us.
Well, he jokes a lot.
Does he?
I mean, he seems so serious, you know, and mean all the time, but he's a big jokester. He's always smiling.
I look at this list. Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, Pat Riley, Jerry Sloan, George Karl. I'm not looking for you to bash anybody here, and that's not the case. Is it me or does George Karl's name just not... I'm going to ask you, A1, you can just nod yes or no. Does that name just not sound like it belongs in those names? It doesn't, right? Okay, he's nodding yes. Am I wrong? I'm not looking for you to bash him. I think of Phil Jackson, obviously, 11 rings, whatever it is. 12 rings? 11 rings? 11 rings?
11.
11 rings. I'm not as high on him as everybody, as the rest of the world is in terms of X's and O's. That being said, I have nothing but respect for what he does in terms of.
But George won a lot of games.
Yeah, he did. Can't absolutely
take, can't
did.
Take that away. That's why he's on the list, because he won games. And sometimes you just in a conference where you just got to go up against the Lakers or you got to go up against the Bulls, and there's not much you can do. I mean, Sloan don't have a ring either.
You know, for years you would have thought it was all Malone. His fact is, after they left, he did Darren Williams and Carlos Boozer. You know what I mean?
All stars. You know?
Yeah, but
he coached good players. And when
he did.
One place, so there's no pressure on you. You know, you're not getting fired, and you're going to do things your way. You know, it's you comfortable that way.
Borderline, like he was running a college program almost over there in terms of the pressure, right. Perspective.
And Phil, I think with the one he won with the New York Knicks, he has 12, I think, total.
If they count the player one, is that what it is? Okay, 12, 10, right. 9, 13. Are you with me in that? I know we've had so many conversations. Are you with me in the Phil more so from the managing talent perspective and not as much as the X and O? Or do you feel like Phil is an elite X and O coach also?
Well, I haven't, you know, had Phil as a coach. But I do believe he's elite.
That's one thing we have in common. He's never coached me either.
I mean, so it's hard to me because I can tell you, you know, about Pop and about George. But, I mean, Phil, he ran a system that worked. And it got him, you know, a lot of titles.
None of this is even what we had planned to talk about today. But as we sit here and we watch, it just kind of segues into this. Phil Jackson now in New York just implementing the triangle. I'm from the thought that nobody has ever won anything from the triangle without Kobe or Michael. Am I wrong? I mean, just to say, you know, I ran this offense with Kobe and Shaq, Michael and Scottie, and it should just work with anybody. There's no.
Well, the flip side to that is them guys didn't win without it also, except Shaq.
The reports is what they're saying in New York is that the players are baffled by it. I don't know what. They seem to make it seem like it's the most complicated thing in the history of life, and it takes forever to understand. Are you that familiar with this triangle? Do you know anything about the triangle?
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it. I've guarded it a lot. When I was in training camp in Minnesota, Kurt Rambis, he was running the triangle. But, you know, he had all 20-some-year-old players that was very young. I mean...
What are your thoughts on the triangle?
My thoughts on it? They got 11 rings. It's not, you know, free up and down like, you know, some guys want to play. But if you got the right personnel out there, it's hard to guard when you got everybody who knows what they're supposed to be. It's pretty hard to guard.
Am I right in that one of the biggest parts about it is that it is dependent, or what makes it move is a big man who can pass?
That helps out a lot, but what, right. Big, what Bulls big man can pass?
Before actually, you know, the Cartwright and whatchamacallit, actually, in terms of passing out of the high box, they weren't bad big men at passing. I'm not going to dispute their basketball ability outside of that, but in terms of like just actually passing that ball, and when you watch those, they moved the ball.
Yeah.
Especially considering that they weren't scoring. So yeah. I mean,
but a guy like Melo, I mean, you get the ball on an elbow in good scoring positions where you don't have to waste dribbles. I feel like for guys like that, it should be able to help them. Now the guys around them is different, and you got to be able to be disciplined and want to do it.
Yeah, the New York just looks. I wonder, I mean, again, I'm sure he knew going in that this was going to be a long process. I just wonder if he knew that it was going to be this bad, this fast. In the Eastern Conference, they have found a way to be irrelevant, which is pretty hard to do in the Eastern Conference.
You got a rookie coach, and you got injuries, and not that good of a team anyway. I mean, I felt if they would have had Bargnani hasn't played yet.
Nah, he
just started off, and Calderon would have started off playing along, we know, with Melo and JR and Shumpert, and they could have been more competitive than they've been, but they start off with injuries, and they got a rookie coach.
Yeah, absolutely. As we get into our first NBA show, the biggest story off season is pretty much transpired into the biggest story in season. The Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Cleveland Cavs, everything. What do you make of everything that's going on out there? The soap opera that has become LeBron James and Kevin Love going back and forth. And let me simplify that. Let me concentrate that. Let's make that a smaller topic. Let's start with Kevin Love. What did you think? Did you think he was what the numbers say he was? Do you think he was a, you know, top tier all NBA first team caliber player? Or did you think he was a guy putting up video game numbers on a bad team?
No disrespect to Kevin, but I just thought that he was just putting up numbers on a bad team.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you.
Well, the rebounds is nothing. The rebounds, well, if you miss a lot of shots, you're going to
right,
get rebounds.
Right, if it's shots being missed left, right, and center.
That's an effort stat. He's still right. Got to go and get those rebounds.
So not trying to take anything take away from him. Agree with
he
you totally.
He still averaged 10 rebounds. But, you know, I didn't really want my power forward shooting 10 threes, and he just kind of did what he wanted to do, and they didn't win games. And I felt the same way about, you know, Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie's a highly skilled player, but I thought he just put up, you know, a lot of numbers on a losing team.
Am I wrong here? I've had this conversation. Me and Aaron have had this conversation plenty of times. One, I said the same thing about Kevin Love in Minnesota in terms of just putting up. I mean, his numbers would be ridiculous. 26, 20. He was doing 26 and 20 right. Like it was nothing. And they were losing by 20. That was the third 20. 20, 20, and 20. The third 20 is they lost by 20. Right. Kyrie Irving, Steve Francis, am I wrong? You see that?
I do see that. I never thought of it like that. I do see that.
Kyrie, too. I've said this several times. I hate when people disrespect people who were great and act like that didn't happen. You know, you say Steve Francis, oh God, no. Or when you say Stephon Marbury, oh God, no. Do not get it. Like Steve was, when Steve was in his prime, he was as good as it got in the NBA. And so was Stephon Marbury. I throw these names out there and then people just look as if like you're disrespecting Kyrie Irving or whatever, insert name here. And that's crazy. Steve Francis, you go, if you're not familiar, go look at his numbers and go look at his accolades. For a 4 or 5 year span, he was as good as any guard out there in the NBA. Now, that being said, when I watched Steve Francis, obviously as a Terp, so I've seen him from college and followed him all the way through the NBA, dribbling machine. I felt like he dribbled the air out of the ball.
Right.
Could shoot, could dribble as well as anybody in the NBA, was as athletic as anybody in the NBA, clearly could jump as high as anybody in the NBA. Could score with anybody, could do anything you wanted to, but for some reason it just seemed like it was always one-on-one basketball that involved a lot of dribbling. And when I watch Kyrie Irving, I see a lot of dribbling. I remember somebody put up the stat, I want to say it was Foy actually, where it was like he had, I want to throw this number out there, 13 games in his career with 10 assists, and like John Wall had that many this year. You know what I'm talking about. It was something along the lines that basically he never gets 10 assists a game and he's the point guard. He's had games this year with 30 something points and zero assists. What are your thoughts on the Kyrie and how does that transpire as a point guard?
Well, with Steve is different because Rudy Tomjanovich ran an offense where you just clear out one side, you let Steve go, and you let Tino Mobley go, you let Mucci Norris go. He had one-on-one players, so and I wanted to play for that team so bad for a while. He just let them guys clear out one side and just go. Kyrie doesn't run that offense. He just kind of come down and just do his thing. He takes more threes than Steve. He kind of just, you know, attacks, you know, with the offense where they might not be supposed to be really running the play. So that's where they differ. And with Kyrie is just when you feel like you can get by anybody else in front of you, I guess it's hard not to take that opportunity.
Now, yourself, you were a two guard who was basically your job was a spot up shooter, mm-hmm. and you're to sit around wait for the guy dish and kick.
Right.
Playing with a point guard like that, what does that do for you when you know that specifically your job is to go down there and be ready to catch and shoot? What happens on the 15th trip down the court and you realize, like, that ball ain't coming? You know, like, it's just not coming. Until he comes out the game, that ball is not coming this way. What does that do for you mentally?
Well, that don't help me at all. That's why, I mean, when my team in Denver, I always wanted to – I was more comfortable starting with Andre Miller opposed to coming off the bench with Earl Boykins.
Right.
Because, you know, when I was a starter with Andre, I got shots, you know, easy, like it was nothing. You know, with Earl kind of, you know, did his thing. So with a guy like, you know, Kyrie, I mean, You just got to play defense and run down and hope you get the ball.
Me and you've had this conversation several times when we discuss point guards. What I personally am a fan of in the point guard is the John Stockton mold of the Steve Nash role of setting the table. And I think I think Steve Nash, aside from the defensive side of the ball, was perfect in that, and John Stockton is that they look to get other people involved first, but do not get it twisted. They surely can create their own shot and knock down a wide open shot at any given second
Absolutely.
Of the day.
Absolutely. I love the passing first point.
So you are a fan of the passing first point guard.
Ricky Rubio. I wish he could shoot better, but
cannot shoot a lick.
But guys out there running, they're going to get the ball.
Right. Yeah, I'm just a fan of that more, and I feel like we're going to a place now where these all-star point guards who we're anointing is, you say, this point guard is amazing, that point guard is amazing. You go look at these numbers, and these guys are at 6 assists, mm-hmm. 5 assists, 7 assists, and it's like, wow, dude, like those, Kobe Bryant gets 5 assists, and he's considered the biggest ball hog in basketball, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you got guys who are point guards, averaging, all-star point guards, averaging 6 assists. And 7 assists. The game is just changing so much. And I just wonder why a guy like, what makes Kyrie Irving a point guard, not a shooting guard? What makes why is Kyrie Irving different than Allen Iverson?
Well, what makes Kyrie different from Allen Iverson is, well, you know, one, you had to have a two guard check, you know, Allen Iverson. And Kyrie, you know, he's guarded by the one, he guards the one. And really, now with LeBron on the team, Kyrie plays a lot of two. LeBron brings the ball up the floor, and Kyrie kind of, you know, run off screens and get the ball and do his thing.
Yeah, I do agree with. I do think that having a guy like LeBron there does allow, you pretty essentially would, for all intents and purposes, make Kyrie the two. I guess he's just listed as the point guard, you know what I mean?
Right.
And has the ball dribbling responsibilities. And I'd imagine that when it comes to press time or something like that, you would definitely have him bringing the ball up, just a better ball handler all the way around.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, the biggest story in the second biggest story, or maybe probably almost tied in, the biggest surprise, let's go with that one. The biggest surprise going into the All-Star break is the Atlanta Hawks. Everybody was expecting the Cavs to come out of the East. Now, I'm going to tell you, I feel like if the Hawks and the Cavs met in the conference final and they played all 5 games in Atlanta, I got Cleveland winning in 5, no less than 5, beating Atlanta. Am I wrong?
So you got Cleveland
winning
in 5.
They would win in 5, and they could have all 5 games in Atlanta. I'll give the Hawks 1 game.
Nah. I think Atlanta's better than that. I've been watching them, and they don't make a lot of mistakes, and they play sound defense, and they make their shots. I mean, it's hard to beat a team like that where you just have no egos. Everybody likes each other, and everybody knows their role.
Am I wrong in that? In order to win a title, you do need one of those, the top 10, top 15 players in the NBA. You do need that when the game is on the line. When we watch the NBA, regular season basketball is just so different than game 4, game 5, game 6. And when that game is on the line, we think about our finals MVPs, and it's this one guy running through, whether it was LeBron, whether it was Dirk, whether it was Tony Parker and Ginobili, you know, with the exception of that Pistons team, no team has won an NBA Finals without a Hall of Famer on it, you know, with and including the likes of obviously Dirk and Tim Duncan, who are still playing. And I've also said that I feel like that Detroit team was extremely underrated in terms of the talent that was on there. Not only that, they may not have any one mega superstar. They had 5 guys who were all-stars, you know what I mean? And then Chauncey Billups was big shot, you know what I mean? So then my question would be, you don't think that Atlanta is missing that one guy, or is there somebody, are you saying Al Horford is that good?
No, I don't feel like, I'll compare them to the Spurs. I don't feel like the Spurs have anybody that's right now that's a top 10 player in the league. Maybe not even top 15. I mean, Miami got 3 of them, and the Spurs still won.
That's fair. I can argue that. But what I would argue back is that I'll take Tony Parker over Teague. I will take I'll take Duncan over Horford in a big game. You know, not for an 82 game season, but for this 7 game series, I would. and so on. And plus, the Spurs, and to that point, the Spurs are battle tested, and they have so much NBA Finals experience there, and so much chemistry together, and so much that Atlanta doesn't have. So again, we'll go and I say, you are drinking I'm not drinking the Hawks Kool-Aid. You are drinking the
How
Hawks Kool-Aid.
How much better is Parker than Teague? I mean, like you say, Parker is battle tested. He has his rings, but as far as skill wise, Teague can do anything that Parker can do.
But here's not to dispute from a breakdown their game piece by piece sort of thing. What I can say about Tony Parker is he's gone head to head 7 games with Chris Paul. Insert name here, right? Westbrook, yeah. You know, for years, and any of these names, you know, Chauncey Bill, he's gone head to head, and he was not the weak man in the series. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So that's what I say about Teague. Now, why Teague is putting together a great regular season and has put together other great, has had a good career up until this point. Tony Parker is, I mean, he's got a Finals MVP on his resume that he very much earned. So that's why I'm not drinking the Hawks Kool-Aid, and I'm not sure. I would definitely take the Cavs over them in that I think that when it comes crunch time, I don't think if they comes down to a fourth quarter, they go into the fourth quarter tied, and LeBron decides that I got it from here. I don't think the Hawks have that guy who says, I'll take care of LeBron. I'll either A, shut him down, or B, match him bucket for bucket. I don't think they have that.
Right. They don't have that. That's the thing with them. They don't have that at all. Like who takes the last shot? We don't know. It just depends on who's going that game, I guess.
Right. That's my problem with the Hawks. And Bulls, what are you saying about the Bulls?
I think the Bulls are one of the most talented teams in the league.
Can't get healthy.
Yeah.
Can't get healthy at the same time.
Yeah, and that's what it is. But hopefully, you know, they get some rest. You know, Tibbs not working them guys to death, whereas though by playoff time, everybody's beat up.
How does that wear on the players? Because that's what Tibb is known for, what they're saying is just running the players into the ground during the regular season. Right. If you're a free agent, do the players tell you, hey man, we over here working during the regular season?
Well, he's gonna get the most out of his players. I mean, they're gonna play great defense, but if anybody learn anything from Pops is, you know, you gotta rest your players. I mean, Pops rest them guys, and come playoff time, they always in there.
Right. Again, like I said, do you think that affects the Bulls come free agencies? Do you think that the word is out that Thibodeau, that, you know, there's no coasting in practice, not even in, you know, the dog days?
I'm pretty sure Melo thought about that a few times,
right,
before he signed.
Right. Okay. I'd have to think so. I would.
Right.
We're all human. Why not? I mean, who doesn't enjoy a day off that you've earned?
Right.
You know what I mean? You look at the Bulls, crazy thing, right? You see, starting for the All-Star game is Pau Gasol. D'Antoni benched this. D'Antoni said he didn't even. He was playing this guy like 13 minutes. He couldn't find anywhere for him to play. What the hell was that? On a bad Lakers team with no big man, D'Antoni really thought that the team was just better off without him even on the floor.
Yeah. Well, Powell's playing different now also. I think he's got something to prove. And like we talked about, you know, Coach Thibodeau, he's going to – when you play for him, you're going to play hard. You're going to play the right way. And D'Antoni, you know – guys just kind of know they're just going to run up and down the score, and the rest doesn't really matter.
Right. I just think that it's a joke. I mean, you think it talented. One thing that does not grow on trees is talented, coordinated 7-foot people.
Right.
And he's very talented. He's very coordinated. Right. He's very much seven. He's 7 and change.
Yeah, just has some soft tendencies. Sometimes.
Very soft tendencies.
Frustrated me a little bit.
Oh, a lot. As a Lakers fan, and both of us were rooting for Lakers, there's no Lakers fan who didn't say he's the softest guy going. Now, that being said, when you just decide we can't even use him?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Now, that being said, I feel like if you can get Gasol and Joakim Noah on the court at the same time for a 7-game series, that is an unreal front court. That's as good as I'll take that front court over anybody.
I didn't think that would work. When he first signed there, I'm like, why sign there?
Really?
I'm looking at him as a center, and they got Noah there. And I'm like, now this year, Taj Gibson's going to be able to start, and, you know, he's going to, you know, have his breakout year. I'm like, why go there? It didn't make sense. I thought he really should have went to Oklahoma.
With two, the Oklahoma, I thought would have been but then you're saying the same thing with Serge. Serge all of a sudden is spending his life at the center. All of a sudden, Serge is spending his career at the 3-point line.
But I'm thinking of power as a center, not as a power forward.
Right, right. But you in their best years though, they were using Bynum as the center and Powell at the four.
Yeah, but that a lot of the time Bynum was hurt.
Noah's hurt now.
And Powell, so I even heard something they saying like maybe they should bring Noah off and start Taj. It's rough on the Bulls for other teams and trying to drive and down the lane because both of them guys can block shots, but offensively they can't stretch the floor out at all. They clogging up the lane for Derrick Rose.
I feel like for 3 or 4 years in a row now we've been waiting for this Taj Gibson coming out party that just hasn't happened. There's been a lot of injuries in Chicago and he's gotten a lot of opportunities. Whether it was when Boozer went down. Remember he was sitting behind Boozer for. And then Boozer went, and it's been a lot of times. I was just waiting for this coming out party to happen, and it just never happened. There was another big man over there, other than I can't remember who it was, and it just always seems like he's about to. And then when he gets his chance to start for 30 games in a row, he pretty much essentially puts up the same numbers in 18 minutes as he does in 28 minutes. He's like always stuck at 9 and 9 or 13 and 9, and he's like, oh, if we get him more minutes, it'll be a 20 and 10, and it's like he's still 13 and 9. With Gasol and Noah, though, I feel like you have two, outside of Marc Gasol, those are the two best passing big men in the game. So while neither one of them is a stretch for, they're two very good passing big men, two good shot blockers, two good rebounders. Jimmy Butler came out of nowhere,
right,
and he's the scorer that Derrick Rose was supposed to be.
He's only averaging 20. Derrick Rose is putting him 25 in this
round. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Not a league MVP like Derrick Rose was. No, but that being said, do you see Derrick Rose even coming to 80% of where he was?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
flashes. Right,
Derrick Rose just doing whatever he want.
Right, followed up by DMP.
Maybe he's wrestling just like we said what Tibbs should do.
Right,
especially for him, maybe they're just being more safe with him opposed to just wrestling him because he needs it. But I mean, he probably need that rest.
Okay, I'm going to. Now it's funny we go from this to the injury. This year I saw the number earlier again, and it's actually growing. It's something ridiculous. Like 9 out of the 13 lottery picks are injured or are almost out for the season. They're just injured. Aaron Gordon was injured. Randall was injured. What's his name? Didn't even play. Embiid, he hasn't even played. I'm trying to think. Why am I drawing a blank on these rookies? But the fact that the point is that Jabari Parker out for the year. They're just done. They're just injured. And the year before, a lot of these guys just keep getting injured. Do you see a correlation as you only played 1 year in college? Do you see a correlation between these players being injured and not playing longer in college, like essentially going from high school 30 games playing against kids 1 year in college, and then now you're going 82 games and you're 19 years old against grown men?
No, I mean, not at all. Rather you at 21, you're still going from playing 30 some games to 82. It doesn't really make a difference. When you're older, you probably have more of a chance to get hurt.
So you don't think there's any correlation between these players being young and the fact that it's an 82 game season?
Not at all. I mean, just freak accidents.
Okay. I mean, I just wonder when I see it, it just seems like these younger players just keep getting hurt, and they're kids, I mean, the Sixers seem to attract them. That's what they go after. The Sixers are building a 21 and under retirement home, and these players are just, they just seem all-time fragile.
I mean, I think the older you are, the more chance you got of getting hurt. I mean, that's the more wear and tear in your body. I mean, in my 1 year in college, that was a lot of wear in my body. I mean, they had us doing the craziest running upstairs and running with weights and all that stuff before the season that I've ever done. I
mean, I
lost a lot of hops just my 1 year in college.
Really? So yeah. You said you did more working in college, yeah. Physically?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is that because of the coach you played for? Or?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, all coaches don't do that. I mean, our friend Kevin went to Temple. He say they didn't do much running at all. They played zone. All they had to do was just sit up, be up at 5:30 to just listen to the coach talk all practice. Ours was the total opposite.
Okay. I got that. Last night, DeAndre Jordan goes for 22 and 27 rebounds.
27.
Right. Dude is definitely coming to his own defensively on the glass and on the rebounds, and he can dunk from essentially anywhere inside the three-point line. Where he's unbelievable good, he's unbelievably bad at that free throw line. Who's the worst free throw player you ever? Have you ever been on a team with one of these guys who just goes, you know, shoots 30, 40%?
No.
No. So I'm just trying to figure out what's said to a guy like that. In a game where he goes 0 for 11 from the free throw line, as a teammate, what are you thinking? Is it something you even address? Do you say, hey, Shaq, hey, well, maybe not Shaq because he's, you know, Shaq, but to a guy like DeAndre Jordan, matter of fact, you played with Reggie Evans, no?
I have played with Reggie, yeah. But he wasn't shooting like that bad. He was shooting pretty bad, yeah.
Does somebody say, hey, you know, you need to do better? Or is it the fact that, I mean, everybody knows he can't shoot and you right. Is it the elephant in the room? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, I had some bad free throw shooters, but it's mental, man. It's like Reggie using him. I mean, his mechanics just isn't that good. DeAndre have better mechanics than
his
Reggie.
Mechanics don't even look bad.
Right. It don't look bad. I think it's mental because you will go practice, you know, hit 10, 20 in a row.
Right.
And then you get out there in that game, you miss, you know, one shot. Now it's in your head. Oh, man, I can't miss it. I can't miss this one. And then you think about it and you miss it. I mean, I know some good three-point shooters who can't make free throws just because sometimes making them free throws is harder than making a three.
Is it because of the three is in the movement of the game, yeah. And so you're not even thinking about it versus the free throw line where it's just you
over
and you are thinking about it?
It's supposed to be free, and it's like you just sitting on an island just thinking about it.
Yeah, I just wonder what in a guy like DeAndre and, Jesus, Rondo. Goodness gracious, this dude's a guard.
Yeah, Iguodala shooting like 50-something.
Yeah, his is kind of came out of nowhere because I don't feel like that was the case. And right. I think he was never a great free throw shooter. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I always pictured him around the low 70s. So there was never like a hack of Iguodala. And then out the blue, it was just like, you know, 60, 50.
Right.
Now Rondo, who's a point guard, and his job is to get into the paint, is at like 30% or something unreal. Going back now, the Rondo trade. What did you think when they traded for Dallas? I was a big fan of it, and I'm actually surprised how little of an impact he's had, if any.
Initially, I did think it would be big for them, but I mean, I think it hasn't been bad.
No,
he's had some games,
but that's not what they traded for. They didn't trade for it to not be bad. I mean, when you trade for Rondo, you're not saying, hey, man, let's get Rondo. It shouldn't be bad. Like, that's not what they said.
You got to think about what Rondo does. When you got Dirk out there, Dirk's not running up the floor with Rondo.
No,
Dirk
but
need
you
to give him the ball, and you need somebody that can spot up and knock down a shot.
But they've got Monte.
Monte, who needs the ball in his hand also.
Definitely needs the ball in his hand.
Chandler, also a guy who can make spot up shots, who can run and finish on a break. But he also likes to have the ball in his hands, and Rondo's the type of player where he needs the ball.
But he needs the ball to distribute the ball.
Exactly.
He doesn't need the ball to score.
Exactly.
He needs the ball to distribute the ball.
Monte needs the ball to score.
Monte absolutely needs the ball to score, and he needs the ball a lot.
Yeah, and Dirk, you know, Dirk needs the ball to score.
Well, are you thinking maybe it wasn't that great of a fit?
I'm thinking it wasn't that great of a fit, but if you feel like you got a chance to get a guy who can distribute and defend like Rondo can, you might feel like you got to, you know, jump on that. But
I feel like where the Western Conference point guard situation is, you had to. You just have to.
Right.
If you're going to go into the playoffs and there's a chance that you might face, in order, Westbrook, Curry, Damian Lillard, Tony Parker. These are all Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget him. These are all point Conley in Memphis. Yeah. You know, these are all point guards that you're going to have to face in the Western Conference. I don't think you can go in there with, you know, Devin Harris as the point guard. So I think it makes sense, especially considering that he was known as a defensive point guard.
Right.
So if I want to slow down any of these guys, and he's a competitor, and he's already a champion. So I loved the move. I'm actually kind of surprised that I don't know how injured he is before this injury. Now obviously something's really wrong with him. He like broke his face or something like that. But, you know, there have been things before. Was his Achilles? Is that what they're saying? Is his Achilles or his elbow? I can't remember. So many players that are injured. But, you know, he's had nagging injuries all year long. And it really has, I want to say, almost had zero effect. And even found himself benched in one of the games in the fourth quarter over there in Dallas. Got sat down for the entire fourth quarter. And his minutes have been right around, like, the mid-20s since he's been out there.
Has it?
Yeah. He's been almost essentially a non-factor since he's got to Dallas, and with the exception of, you got it right there. What does it say for on that split? Should be on their split that and show just his Dallas numbers.
I got it.
Should be right there. You want to see it?
Full game log I need to go to.
Okay. His I do know it's been rough. You know, and like I said, it's been on, and I was a big fan of it, of the trade. And that being said, though, I thought the Rondo trade was more about the postseason than it is about the regular season.
Right.
I think if, you know, I don't think they got Rondo with the hopes of him putting up gaudy numbers and doing a lot for them in the regular season. I think they did get him for those battles in the playoffs, and which I think we'll find out if Rondo earned his money. Another team that people expected a lot out of and was Houston. We've been watching, I believe if we had this conversation 5-6 years ago, Dwight Howard was hands down, undisputable, the best big man in basketball. And I feel like he's regressed terribly and at best been stagnant.
Right.
And his game is not developed. Not only has he not gotten better, I venture to say he's gotten worse.
Right.
Why? This guy has all the athletic ability in the world in a league with no centers. I'm not understanding why he isn't. I remember watching TNT, and it used to feel like Shaq was picking on him. Like, Shaq has an obsession with Dwight Howard, and he will not stop picking on the guy.
Absolutely, he still does it.
But now, I see what he sees. I see that he's like, dude, if I'm Shaq, I can definitely see why you'd be offended that people would even compare you to this guy.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think that was part of it with the whole Superman thing. And at the time, it looked like, man, Shaq, this dude's coming. He's going to be, you know, a dominant. This guy had like 4 or 5 defensive players of the year in a row.
Right.
You know, and it was like, you know, this guy could jump out of the gym. He was strong. He wasn't as mass-wise big as Shaq, but he was defined and, you know, shoulders as broad as anybody we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like this dude has got no offensive moves. To be essentially, you know, the only big man in the league just about. You know, maybe one time a month he faces another legit center. DeMarcus Cousins, you know, I don't know who else the other centers are out there. The Gasols and, you know, whatever. And he does nothing. He's 18 and his rebound numbers are even down. His block numbers are even down.
He's not getting any younger.
No, he's not. I mean, I'm just wondering if this whole thing is, are we going to wake up 6 years from now and just be like, okay, that never happened.
And, you know, he still averaging like 17 and 10 still? Even while I feel like he's playing terrible and looking terrible.
Right.
Center, 17 and 10.
17 and 10. Absolutely can't be mad at that. But the thing is that when you look at him and you see 30 and 12. You know what I mean? Like, when we think about those numbers he was putting up in Orlando as a young buck and taking that team to the NBA Finals, he would do 20 and 20 in playoff games, back-to-back in playoff games.
Right.
You know, and that just looks like such a distant memory. And he doesn't dominate inside. He almost, when you watch a Rockets game, I do think James Harden dominating the ball has a lot to do with that. But Dwight Howard's become an afterthought. You know, when you watch a Rockets game, and now they're talking about, every time you hear about the Rockets looking to add another person, they're looking to add another person as the two and slide Dwight Howard down as the three. You know what I mean?
Right.
Third, or, you know, in their ideal situation, down as the fourth scoring option. You know what I mean? That's just so far away from the arc that we thought his career was going to take. You know,
he made the decision to go there. I mean, they had all these great centers who they felt like was going to help him with.
Right, Akeem and Kevin McHale is the coach.
Yeah, and
he looks no better than he did.
He doesn't at all.
Like, do you think he's healthy?
I mean, yeah, I just think he getting older. He's trying to put on more weight, and he just can't jump like it. You still can jump higher than
probably anybody, right?
But like, never had any moves, but he was much quicker and so much athletic, and he tried harder. That, you know, he was putting up the numbers. Now he's not trying as hard. He's not as bouncy. I mean, he's had back problems. I don't know if that's still hurting him, but sometimes still I see him go up and, you know, and dunk on guys.
Yeah. Now, every once in a while, you definitely see the alley-oop where he catches it, and his, you know, he's definitely almost touching the top of the backboard. I mean, his offense arsenal is ungodly, dude. It's just unreal.
I seen him going to Marc Gasol.
It's embarrassing.
One-on-one Marc Gasol just blocking his shots like it's nothing.
While we're on the center topic, the most frustrating player to me to watch, and that I'm baffled by as we continue the topic of a league with no centers, Roy Hibbert is 9 feet tall, and he can't even get 9 rebounds. Like, there's got to be a rule somewhere that foot per rebound. Like, you just can't be 7'10" and not get 7 rebounds. Like, he's horrible.
Well, for Roy, he can't move. So, if guys get into his legs and box him out, he can't get to them rebounds because he's not quick enough to just move guys to the side and go get them rebounds. His height should come in blocking shots.
And he's frustrating, dude. He really, like, even going back to last year or the year before in the playoffs, when teams just said, what we're going to do is just run without a center. And he had to come out of the game.
Right.
Nobody ever said our answer for Akeem, our answer for Shaq is we're not going to have a center. Like, that's not how you
there's get up and down the floor.
There's no other player who I can say that their answer. There's no other big man that you respect that other opposing teams' defensive mechanism was to not play with the center.
Right.
Well, I mean, teams were going out there.
One pick. You know, we never really looked at Roy as that guy.
No.
Dominant like that.
No. You know how much, without looking, do you know what his career rebounding average is?
No.
It's under 7. 6.8.
Right.
This guy is 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
There's guards who average 5 and 6 rebounds a game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The ball just bounces to you 5 or 6 times a game by accident if you're out there for that long.
I got Roy on my team. All I need Roy to do is clog up the middle. Guys drive in there, block their shot, or change their shot.
Yeah. Yeah, he's,
you know, and he got touch. You know, he can make his free
throws. He can. No, he absolutely can. He touch is an understatement. He can shoot.
Right.
He's as good. If we were playing horse with big men, 12 to 15 feet in, I'll take Roy. He absolutely can. His free throw percentage is amazing. It shoots mid-80s from the free throw line. I mean, he absolutely has touch. He's another
seen Roy come on to Georgetown's campus.
Right. I've heard
bad.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Just to see him playing at all out
yes.
there, you know, I'm proud of him.
The fact that he made it, and that is definitely the sentiment in this whole D.C. area where people actually know Roy and have seen Roy play, and I agree. I remember, I think, going down there with you maybe or somebody else down in, what do they call it, Kenner League or whatever in the Georgetown, and I think he was like a freshman or it might have even been in high school. Couldn't even walk and chew gum at the same time. So the fact that he is in the NBA, absolutely. Out west, is Golden State, am I wrong in that a jump shooting team, how deep can they go? Do they not rely too much on those Splash Brothers?
They do, but at the same time, is they play defense. They're like the top defensive team in the league.
I heard so the number, which was very surprising. I wasn't expecting that at all, and that they were the number one defense. That you'd I'd bet my money they're actually the last ranked defense
That's
team.
That's what you would think.
That's what you would think. Now, again, we've said this before, and it's a fact. Big difference between regular season basketball and a best of 7 series. Do you think that this great defense that they're playing transfers in
to the playoffs? I don't see why I would stop. If you're playing defense, you're playing defense.
The Bogut, essentially, he's just not ever going to be healthy. I don't think that you can bank on that. He's just, he's not, he's nothing he's done to prove that he is going to be there. Come, I mean, if he is, that's what they would call icing on the cake. But I don't think that you say you build a championship team with the expectation that Bogut is going to be there. With that being said, you're looking at an undersized David Lee who was never known as a defensive force to begin with, and then a bunch of just a pretty very guard-heavy team with not much of an inside. Green is playing amazing.
Yeah.
Bringing Iguodala off the bench is you know, that's a very still a very talented player. Mm-hmm. I just question how they would do against, like, a Memphis with Zebo and Gasol down there. Or, you know, just some of these other teams that are bigger. Or LaMarcus Aldridge. What are they going to do with LaMarcus Aldridge? What
are you
going
to play defense? I mean, Draymond starts. David Lee still comes off.
Right. No, David Lee is all the way down the bench. Yes.
I mean, I like David Lee. I would rather start David Lee. I mean, Draymond, he plays hard. He plays defense. He plays. But he kind of frustrates me. That's the one team that I'm going to watch all their games is Golden State. But when they got Bogut in there, man, they're tough. Man. They're tough. Even when they miss shots, they tough. And then they can get going so quick. And they make you change the way you play defense just because of the shots they take.
Man, we could go this. I love them. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. We could go all day. Just want to give you like 3 or 4 questions before we get out of here, and then just say before you're gonna come back next week.
Yeah, I can.
Real quick to set the table for next week. Then this is what I do want to talk about because it's a topic that I think is so. I think you could ask 10 people and get 10 different answers. Let's do top 10 point guards next week. I think the point guard position is heavier than it's ever been. And I think that this is the first time ever that a guy who might be number 2 on somebody's list might be number 9 on somebody else's list. You know, I think that you'll find guys you don't even have who have Damian Lillard 3, and you'll have guys who don't even have Damian Lillard on their list. I think you'll have guys who will say Westbrook is the best point guard in basketball, and people will say he's the 6th best point guard in basketball. The point guard thing is all over the place.
Nobody's feels the way that you just said.
About Westbrook?
About Westbrook being 6 and Damian Lillard not even being top 10.
Oh, there's, I mean, the position is loaded, bro. The position is loaded. I mean, it used to be, just think about it, 3 years ago, it was Deron Williams undisputed number 1, Chris Paul number 2.
Right.
Deron Williams isn't even number 1 point guard in his own team. You know what I mean? And you know, Chris Paul's still in the debate. Westbrook's in the debate. Kyrie Irving's in the debate. DC right here, you can't get somebody who's not going to tell you John Wall isn't a top 3 point guard in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the point guards are heavy right now. Ty Lawson, where's he fall in?
Right.
Ty Lawson is amazing, right? His numbers say he's as good as anybody out there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and like I said, then you said you would love to play for Ricky Rubio. Does he even rank in the top 10?
No.
Exactly. I mean, so, and this is the guy who you said you would love to play with.
He's the best passer.
Absolutely, because he's probably the only one who's a pass first. And shoot, not a shooter at all, period. And then we still haven't even mentioned the name Steph Curry. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're, you said that you can't see a scenario where somebody has Westbrook outside of the top 5. The fact is that when you say Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, Damian, that's 5. There's still names to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's somebody right now who's listening. I can't believe he didn't say, right, whoever. You know what I mean? Yeah, Jeremy, this man right here has so much Jeremy Lin Kool-Aid. It was, oh my God. He might still have a Jeremy Lin tattoo. I wish you could have. I wish I could show you the text messages. My man told me he was better. He would take him over Tony Parker. Swear to God. This dude told me, this guy
Jeremy
was
Lin,
like Jeremy Lin.
Got his money off them peoples, and you know, he living good right now.
Let me ask you this. Is Hassan Whiteside this year's Jeremy Lin?
No, because Hassan Whiteside, I don't think what he's doing is just based off of, you know, everybody being hurt and him playing in the offense so he can have the ball every time. That boy out there just playing. 7 feet, blocking shots, getting rebounds. That's just him.
So you are buying that one?
Definitely buying that one. I mean, any 7-footer that can run and jump and just has any kind of coordination and
I've said that forever, and I 1,000 agree. Now, that being said, how did he get there? That's my point. Like, when you see that, because you are 100% right. Any 7, you don't have to go to the last things you added. Any 7-footer who's coordinated,
right,
off rip, boom. Right. You know, so you figure, how is it this guy ends up in the second round? How is it that he wasn't a highly recruited out of high school. How did that happen? He was cut from like 3 or 4 different NBA teams.
You'd be surprised how many players who's not in NBA.
But not 7 foot though.
There's big men in other places that the NBA haven't seen. Oh, they've seen them, but sometimes they just won't take a chance on these kids. And they can play.
Every year I see these guys drafted left, right, and center. 7 foot, nothing. Can do nothing. And these teams, and they're drafted dumb high. You know what I mean? Like, can't even do anything. So you figure.
These kids ain't getting in trouble. You know, they ain't get suspended for or failing drug tests and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's just funny. I was looking at it today, because he definitely came out of nowhere. This dude came. I mean, when I say nowhere, not even the D League. He was over, nothing.
It was in Lebanon.
Yeah. And now he's, if they did the All Star voting based off of the last month, he'd be the starting center in the All Star game.
Right.
You know what I mean? This dude's numbers are unbelievable. Okay, so just to wrap up before we get out of here. So let's do that next week. So make sure you guys come back and listen to the top 10 point guards. Jeremy Lin will not be in mine. He will be 2 or 3 in A1's list, which is the reason that he's not allowed to have a microphone. Like, stuff like that. That is the reason. For anybody out there, if you're wondering right now, like, well, I wonder why A1 didn't get a mic. It's because he says things like, I don't know, Jeremy Lin, top 5 point guards in the league. That's why he doesn't get a microphone. Every year he gets something and he just drinks somebody's Kool-Aid. This guy is, I've known him for years. Prisoner of the moment comments are just hilarious. I can't even tell you. The people he told me were going to be the greatest to ever do it. Greatest to ever do it. Hilarious. Every time somebody scores 20 points, he tells me about this guy. Hilarious. hilarious. I could do a show just on just reading text messages about people this guy has told me about. And I'm like, you can't be serious. In the Western Conference, the Thunder make the playoffs?
Yeah, Thunder get it.
Who comes out then?
Phoenix.
Phoenix coming out. Okay. Yeah. I can take that.
And they're going to have to reassess these, you know, on these 3-point guards that they have that causes a lot of teams trouble.
When they did that, it didn't make sense to me.
Then draft one. It didn't make sense to me at all.
When they brought in Isaiah, I mean, the Bledsoe Rogic thing was working by barely. You could tell Bledsoe was not happy with the situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the way Roger plays, there was no denying him. Right. You know? Well, so it was like.
Actually, he's a 2 now. I don't even think they even let him. He don't even touch point guard anymore.
So it was like that situation was on life support. And you thought by making it better, it was like you're going to bring in Isaiah Thomas
another
and like
shoot
you said.
First point guard.
Right.
And then draft.
Undersized at that, too. Yeah. So now you have 3 guys who are undersized, 3 guys who were shoot first, essentially. And I don't understand that. And like you said, draft. I didn't understand that one at all. That was odd. Who are the 2 best teams in the West? Who would you say in the Western Conference Finals? Not record wise. Who do you see in the Western Conference Finals? Gotta go Spurs again, right?
Gotta go Spurs.
A healthy Spurs team.
And Golden State, I think.
Golden State.
Golden State and the Spurs. But it's so hard to call because the last few nights Oklahoma's been looking great.
Yeah. KD's not right, and I don't think he's going to be right all season.
KD, look, you see him last night?
I saw him on Sunday.
No, he had 40 last night.
Yes, with 7 3-pointers.
He looked great, yeah.
7 3-pointers.
He looked great last night.
Yeah, it just keeps getting banged up, though. Toe.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Ankle or foot or something. Mm-hmm. And here and there. And Westbrook. I've told you this for years. I think they depend too much on those two. I think they're just way too heavy on those two. I think that there are scenarios where, and it has happened, it can happen, they can both go for 35 in an L. They can go for 35 and the team score 100
but
each.
Now they have a rookie kid from Michigan.
The
McGarry.
Okay.
You know, he's 18 and 10.
Yeah.
His first 2 games. And I've always liked him. He's just been hurt all year, and he's coming out, and Adams is hurt. So he's been out there, man, and that kid can play. I think he's going to help them a lot. I just don't like Rosen as they're starting too.
Serge Ibaka has joined the long list of people that I cannot stand big men shooting threes. Like, I
shoots 40%.
That's fine. He does. I'm great. Happy for him. You know, Kevin Love did too. And I just have a problem with my number one rebounder at the three-point line. I feel like I'm not giving my team the best opportunity to win with the guy who, because my question is always, if you're at the three-point line, who's down in the paint?
Well,
and AD, we all agree at this table, Kendrick Perkins is the worst big man in the history of basketball. Like, what is
you got Kevin and Westbrook, who likes to drive. They need them lanes open.
Yeah,
they
don't need right. I get that. Serge, if your name isn't Dirk, like, I need you under the basket. I definitely agree with the whole keeping the lanes open. Mm-hmm. I got that. If you want to hang out at the elbow, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I'm cool with that. And just when you see guys, big men who apparently put, I mean, I'm in order to get to 40%, I can only imagine how much work he put in the offseason on his 3-point shot.
Which one that though?
So you have to wonder if you put in some of that time on some footwork. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you could be a kid. You know what I mean? Because let's not make a mistake. Like, these guys aren't, and it's not just him, it's a lot of them. Like, they have to put in a lot of work to become that good at three-pointer. You know, so you just wonder, how much time they're putting in on footwork.
Man, Anthony Davis doesn't post up either. You watch
Anthony Davis, a real boy, man. That's a bad boy right there. All his
points are off lobs.
Yes, yes.
Off jump shots.
Yes. Anthony Davis might weigh 9 pounds. I don't want to see him post up. I don't think he can do 82 games with his back to the basket.
I'm kind of worried that he might be in that love situation too, whereas he just putting up these great.
You think so? We talked about that last show. You think so? Yeah. I said I'm in love with his numbers.
He's more talented because he can.
He fills it up, dude. He fills it up.
When you watch him, like, oh, they run off a screen and roll, they throw the lob up there, and it's like he gets 12 points like that.
Yeah. Nah,
fast breaks. He ain't doing nothing on the block.
What I said on the show last week or the show before, I said this dude. That's what I said. I said it's the Kevin Love sort of thing. I said what I need from him now, because he's still young, is I think it's time for him to go to that next level and become. It's time to make. There's a difference between scoring 20 points and scoring 20 relevant points, yeah. And I think it's time for him to take that next step. Right. And I don't need him to win an NBA championship, but I want him to be the eighth seed, you know. And I want to see him in a playoff game that matters. But I mean, that dude's a bad boy though. He fills up that stat. I mean, because he blocks shots, he makes his free throws.
His energy is crazy.
He runs the floor. Yeah, he's just lanky and I wonder if you get 82 games out of him.
Yeah.
Ever. And man, when I say 82, that's just a number. I mean, by that, 75 is fine. You know what I mean? But I just wonder if you go a season without seeing him on the injury report. All right, well, that's enough for this week. We could go all day. Thank you for everybody for listening in. Make sure you, A1, help me out here. What are we doing? We go to the website, listen to the podcast, iTunes. Go to iTunes. What do we have to do when you get on? Go to iTunes, type in Player's Voice. Excuse me. Go to iTunes, type in The Barbershop. Subscribe, correct? Subscribe to it. When you subscribe to it, it lets you, it automatically comes to your phone. You don't know. You're terrible. He's horrible. Yes. Fired. Go there, subscribe. It'll let you know. Follow every week. And you can rate it right on there. You can rate the show. If you don't like it, please do not rate the show. if you don't like it, just keep your opinions to yourself and don't listen again. That'd be great. But if you like it, please rate the show. Please subscribe. It's going places. I can feel it. It's great. The energy is good. Loving it. Love you guys. Listen in. Get those emails in. mg@playersvoice.com. That's mg@playersvoice.com. What you got, Slim? Oh, I thought you was raising your hand.
No.
Okay.
Listening.
Okay. Facebook, playersvoice.com. Twitter, Gray A Mark. I always want to say at, but it's supposed to say the at part first. I'm just terrible at the Twitter thing. I don't even understand why. DJ, what's yours again?
At Damar J.
At Damar J. Just the letter J.
Just the letter J.
Okay, at. Follow him. He has absolutely nothing sports related to say. But that's it. It's been a great show. Make sure you check back next week. We do top 10 point guards. All-Star Weekend. All-Star Weekend is this weekend?
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. All-Star. Actually,
my Twitter is at Damar Johnson. It's the whole thing. I'm thinking about my Instagram. So my Twitter is at Damar Johnson.
At Damar Johnson. The thing is, I was thinking in my head, I was saying I'd never heard that because I'm not even on Instagram. So I was going to say it's my first time hearing at Damar J, but that's why. So your Twitter is at
Damar Johnson.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for stopping by, DJ. And the best part about having you is that A1 doesn't have a microphone, which is just awesome. It is awesome to look over there and not see him with a microphone on. That's awesome. And you still managed to mess up the one responsibility he did have. That's awesome, too. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll check you out next week. PlayersVoice.com. Have a good week. Happy Valentine's Day.